And praise the Lord for that truth. James chapter 3, if you will. James chapter 3. And it is not my intent to keep us very long this evening for what that's worth. I don't know. You can decide for yourself what that's worth, but we'll see what the Lord does. Amen. James chapter 3. And going to be looking at verse 2 through verse 5. We, of course, dealt with verse 2 in great detail last week, I believe it was. And notice here in James chapter 3, and I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and just start with verse 1, read down through verse 5. The Bible says this, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, enable also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word. And Lord, we are asking you tonight to teach us from your word. I pray you'd guide and direct my thoughts and my words this evening, that they would be, Lord, honoring and glorifying to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our midst that only you can do. Lord, give us a burden for lost souls. Lord, during this message, I pray you'd help us to see the truth that you're trying to teach us from this passage. Lord, I pray that if there's any in our midst that do not know you as their Savior, that they would come to know you tonight, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. And I ask all these things in the name that's above every name, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in this chapter of the book of James, this pastor, and as we've referred to him, Pastor James, is delivering a warning to all the believers that would read this letter. And he was telling them that their tongue is dangerous, that their tongue could get them into all sorts of trouble. Now, let's be honest before God and everybody tonight. How many here could say with uplifted hand, my tongue at one point or another has gotten me into some trouble through my life? Most of us, before I even finished that, we had our hands up. Amen. Because we know how true that is. Our tongue will fly off the handle on all sorts of different things. We will say things that we later regret, say things that sometimes instantaneously regret. And we realize that the Bible is true when it talks about how unruly our tongue is. And when it says that it is a fire and as the poison of asp is what the Bible says. And just many different things that it talks about with the tongue. And as we read through those things, unless we have just become so cold-hearted and hard-hearted that we're just not accepting the truth of the Word of God, as we read these things, we all come to the conclusion that this is true, and it's true in every one of our lives. And all of us need to realize our tongue can get us into all sorts of trouble. A man was working in the produce department, and he was asked by a lady if she could buy half a head of lettuce. He replied, "Half a head? Are you serious? God grows these in whole heads, and that's how we sell them," he said. "You mean," she persisted, "that after all these years I've shopped here, you won't sell me half a head of lettuce?" "Look," he said, if you'd like, I'll ask the manager." She indicated that would be appreciated, so the young man marched to the front of the store. "You won't believe this, but there's a lame-breaded lady back there who wants to know if she can buy half a head of lettuce." He noticed the manager gesturing and turned around to see the lady standing behind him. And obviously, having followed him to the front of the store, this man quickly said this, "And this nice lady was wondering if she could buy the other half." He concluded, and later in the day, the manager cornered the young man and said, "That was the finest example of thinking on your feet I have ever seen. Where did you learn that?" The young man replied, I grew up in Grand Rapids. And if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that it's known for two things, great hockey teams and ugly women, he said. The manager's face flushed and he interrupted, my wife is from Grand Rapids. To which the young man replied, and which hockey team does she play for? Amen. His tongue got him into some trouble, but his tongue helped him out of a little bit of trouble. Amen. But I say all that to say this. Many times we say some things that we may try to wiggle our way out of. We may try to apologize it away or try to justify ourselves for what we said. But the truth of the matter is this, our tongue can only be tamed by God Almighty. We can't do it ourselves. We need Him to help us. With that said, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, what is your tongue capable of? What is your tongue capable of? You know, the tongue is powerful. It has the capability of being great and useful, but also very hurtful and very destructive. In the Word of God, the tongue is not painted in a good light. And what we find is that many people throughout Scripture were hindered in their life and in their walk with God before men because of what they allowed their tongue to say and how they allowed their tongue to say it. I want us to notice, first of all, this evening, the mystery of the tongue. The mystery of the tongue. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and notice, and boasteth great things. Here in this verse, we see that it speaks of the tongue as a little member, and it's not much for size. It is not an attractive part of the body, to say the least. It is useful. I thank the Lord for it. We'd all be in a world of hurt without it. But the reality is, it's very small in comparison to the rest of our body. I looked this up online. Here's a tidbit of information you may want to know, just in case the question ever arises. The average human tongue is between 3.1 and 3.5 inches long. Now you learned something tonight, amen? That's what they say. I don't know. That's what online said. I didn't measure it. I'm just going on what they said. It's a little member. But I have never in all my life found something that was so small get me into more trouble than what my tongue has gotten me into. As we look at the tongue itself, you would think that we could control that pretty easy. You know, as we go through life, we've got the hands that God has given us. We've got the feet that God has given us. And we can say, well, I can control what my hands do. And I want to do all I can for the glory of God. I can control where my feet are going. And I want to make sure I'm walking on a path that is right with the Lord and where God wants me to go, and allowing Him to guide my steps and allow Him to guide my work and be productive for Him. And we make all of those decisions, and we think to ourselves, this is something I can do. And we'd say, these are some of the largest pieces of my body, these extremities here, and I can use them to glorify God. And then there's this thing less than 4 inches in our mouth, and none of us can control it. Not one of us. Without God's help. You know, the tongue only says what the brain tells it to say. That's it. It cannot make decisions. It cannot think for itself. It cannot move by itself. The body controls the tongue. But so often we allow the tongue to control the body. Lord, help us. It's a strange thing to try to comprehend the scriptural truth of the tongue. It is truly a mystery, because it is so small, it's so tiny, it's so insufficient. Yet in verse 5, it says that it boasteth great things. It's kind of strange to think about. how can something so small do things that are so great? Well, the reality is the Bible is teaching us that though it is small and though we may fail to see the power that it wields because of how small it is, it can cause great destruction and it can have tremendous influence for its size. The decision is not whether or not we allow it to have great influence. It's influencing greatly one way or the other. It's just, is it influencing for good or influencing for evil? Are we trying to control it or are we allowing the Lord to control it? Some people say this, well, it's small, but it packs a big punch. Well, that's true with the tongue. It may be mysterious, but it is true. You think of this little member. And yet it has torn down great men, great women. It has been used to tear down great civilizations with a word. When someone says with their tongue, somebody that's in power, when they say that person dies, that person dies. Why? Because of the words that came out of their mouth. You know, the tongue can also be used for good. When we tell somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's having great influence with our tongue. But we have to decide whether or not we're going to allow the Lord to guide and direct our words, or if we're going to do it ourselves. We will never understand the mystery of the tongue. We won't. It's so small, but yet it does so great things. But we need to understand the Bible is true whether we understand all the intricate details or not. God's word is true. And God is the only one who can bring our tongue into subjection. So notice, first of all, the mystery of the tongue. Notice, second of all, here, the comparisons that are given. The comparisons that are given. Look at verse 3 of our passage. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Look at verse 4. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. James is giving two illustrations here, and these illustrations are given to help us to understand the influence that our tongue has, not on just someone else in the words that we say, but he's bringing this down, and he is reserving, if you will, in these two verses, the power of influence the tongue has on our own flesh, on our body. Notice what it says here, the illustration of the horse bit there in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A bit is something that a lot of us here, if not all of us, are familiar with, at least with the idea of the bit. Of course, being here in Amish country, you see horses going up and down the road all of the time. And many times I get behind more than I see going the other direction. Amen. But we see them, and we see that when that driver decides that they want that horse to make a right-hand turn, you see him pull on the reins, and it pulls that bit, and it moves the whole horse's body with that little piece of metal. That little piece of metal is in the horse's mouth, and it's attached to that harness, and the mouth is tender, therefore it responds quickly to the rapidly changing movements and positions and pressure. And that little piece of metal in comparison to that horse, it seems to be null and void. If you had this huge beast and you had this little tiny piece of metal, in man's eyes you would say, there's no way a little piece of metal like that to control a beast that size. You know, the average bit weighs between 6 and 8 ounces. Of course, the heaviest of that average being half of a pound. The average horse weighs between 900 and 2,000 pounds. But yet that little bit can control the whole horse's body. Just that. That large animal is strong enough to go anywhere it wants to go. It can pull just about anything it wants to pull. It is a strong beast of the field, yet it can be guided by an 8-ounce piece of metal. The one riding the horse or being pulled by the horse can change the horse's direction by putting pressure in certain ways. It can make the horse stop. They can make the horse go. They can turn it to the left or to the right. That person can bring a large animal into subjection by holding the reins. And the same is true in our lives when we allow the Lord to hold the reins of our tongue. Why do we struggle with our tongue? Why is it that we get ourselves into all sorts of trouble with what we say or what we do not say or how we say things? It's because too often we, even as believers, of course, with the world, we can understand, well, they're not being guided by truth. They're not being guided by the Word of God. They're just going about their own way. They're following their own lust. And we can say, well, obviously their tongue isn't in subjection, but it's not just the world that has problems with their tongue. It's we as believers as well. And the reason we struggle with that is because too often we are trying to hold the reins that were reserved for God's hands and God's hands only. If we hold the reins, we will do what we want to do. When God holds the reins, we will do what is biblically correct. The issue is every time we say what we shouldn't say or speak in a way that we shouldn't speak, it is because we have taken the reins from God's hands, we've put them into our hands, and when that happens, the best thing to do is confess our sins unto God, give those reins back to God, and say, Lord, I have failed. I took control of my tongue, and when I'm the one guiding my tongue, I'm going to say things that I don't want to say. I'm going to say it a way that I don't want to say it. And I know that's going to end up in broken relationship and broken hearts and all of these different things. I'm going to hurt people and I'm not going to glorify you if I'm holding the reins. Lord, forgive me and take the reins of my tongue. That should be our prayer. Every time we slip up, it's because we've taken the reins from God. He will never lead us to say something that we shouldn't say. He will never lead us to say something in a way that we shouldn't say it. God will never say, well, I know this is going to be unkind or I know this is going to be hurtful, but I'll tell you what, go ahead and say it anyway because that's what they need to hear. You don't have to be kind about it. God will never say that, but your flesh will tell you that every single time. Every time. Our flesh does a great job at justifying what we say and how we say it, even if it's the most wicked things coming out of someone's mouth. We need to give the reins back to the Lord. The other illustration that is given is of that of a ship, but not the ship as a whole. But notice there in verse 4, it says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great. So it's talking about this huge ship. And if you've ever seen a cruise ship, when you see those things, I mean, they are massive. It seems like as far as you can see, it's just this huge boat that's sitting there. But understand that whole boat. Boat or even a Navy vessel, and you've got these things that vessels that go out, aircraft carriers, and it's a massive piece of machinery that's out on the water. But that whole thing is steered by a little helm underneath. Just a little rudder in comparison to the ship. It's very small. So notice here, you've got this ship, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Notice there this helm that we're talking about. We see it says this ship is great in size, and we see that even the large ship that it's talking about there is steered by a little helm. And it says that even when they're driven forward by the wind may push it forward. It's driving it through the waters. Whichever way the wind blows, that ship will go that way unless the helm steers it a different way. The truth that's being portrayed here with the winds is this: even if the ship is in a great storm, the helm or the rudder has a great influence on where it goes. If we allow our flesh and our desires and our thinking to be the helm that's steering our ship, we're going to get further and further into the storm, further and further into the darkness. But if we allow the Lord to guide the helm, to steer the ship, we may be in a storm, but we're being guided by the hand of Almighty God. Many times when we slip up and say something, and it may be something that we would say, well, it just slipped out. When we do that, understand it's because we took control of the wheel of that ship. We're the ones steering it rather than God. God will never have us just have something slip out. But understand here, when we're going through the storms of life, when the winds are driving that ship and it seems as though we are in the darkest storm, some people will say this: well, that came out of my mouth and I said that because of what I'm going through. No, we said that because we took control of the ship and we took it away from Almighty God. Church, we need the Lord to protect us and guide our tongue. We need His help. We see these illustrations that are given here, and notice that helm, that rudder has great influence on where the ships go. What you're going to find is with a ship, you will find there's a large wheel, and that wheel is connected to the helm or that rudder. And when that wheel is turned, the helm is also turned. And just as we talked about the reins need to be handed back to the Lord, we need to step back from the wheel of our life and say, God, You're in control of this. It doesn't matter where You want me to go. That's where I'm going to go. Where You want to steer this ship, I'm going to follow You. I'm along for the ride. You tell me where to go, and You tell me what to say and how to say it. And you know what God will do? He'll take control of that ship. He'll do that. He'll guide that horse. He'll guide us as we go through life, but only if we allow Him to do that. God gives us a free will. Many times people will find themselves in some terrible situations and they get mad at God. Lord, why did You allow me to come here? When many times their life has been full of them snatching the reins out of God's hands or taking God away from the wheel of that ship. They end up with broken relationships, broken families. Things that they never thought they would say are flowing out of their mouth. Why? Because they took control of the vessel when it was only God's to control. And many times we end up saying things we don't want to say, and we speak in an unkind way, and we justify ourselves and we'll say, well, that's what they needed to hear. Well, it's about time somebody said that. Lord, help us. That's coming from a pride-filled heart, is what that's coming from. Church, we need the Lord to guide us. Notice number three here this evening. Notice the positive capabilities of the tongue. Notice we see here in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter of a little fire kindleth. We see this word here, boasteth. This word boasteth it's not speaking of pride in and of itself, but rather the capability of performing a great service. You know, we need to give the tongue and the control of the tongue over to the Lord. It can be used for great things. It can boast great things for the Lord, but it can also bring great destruction. You know, a ship may be beautiful. It may have many amenities, but without the helm, it's going to become lost at sea and will eventually be destroyed. And the same will be true if we try to steer our own ship. Many people, they have lived their life running from God. They've lived their life just doing exactly the opposite of what the Bible has commanded them to do. And they end up at the end of their life and they're wondering, how did I get here? I'm such a wretch. I've wasted my life. I haven't done anything for the glory of God. I have spat in the face of God. All the life that God has given me, I've wasted it. Why? Because they tried to steer their own ship. And they're finding out that that led to destruction. The only way to be guided on the right path is if we allow the Lord to steer our tongue. When our life is compared to this horse, if we allow ourselves to guide that bit, we're going to run that horse right into the ditch. We will destroy the life of the horse, and that will cause great tragedy in our lives. We need to allow the Lord to use our tongue for good. I want you to look at Psalm chapter 12, if you will. Book of Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. We'll read all 8 verses here. Notice what the Bible says here in Psalm chapter 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a doubtful heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. The wicked, or this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Notice it talks about what our tongue does. Flattering lips. Well, that's the world we live in today. Speaketh proud things. Well, if we're guiding our own ship or if we're trying to steer that horse ourselves, that's exactly what we're going to say. We're going to speak out of pride. Notice verse 4, the pride that's found in this verse. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Our tongue can get us into trouble. The Bible says here in verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. You know, it may seem as we go through life, we'll have different ones that claim to be believers and maybe some that have truly trusted Christ as their Savior, but they've taken the reins from God and they're just going about their life and they've got filth just coming out of their mouth. And it seems as though they are exactly what we see described in the end of verse 3 and in verse 4. It seems as though as they're talking, it's just pride just pouring out of their lips. And many times we'll ask ourselves, well, how can a person that is saved do that? Or it seems as though that person there, they're allowing their tongue to just run wild. It seems as though they are in control of their tongue and they're just saying whatever they want to say, and it seems like nothing's happening to them. Why is that? But the Bible says the Lord cutteth off all flattering lips. The Lord will take care of it. The Lord will do that. If we say what we think is best, understand we are allowing ourselves to guide or to help and direct the reins. But if we allow the Lord to guide our words, we will only say what he tells us to say. There have been many men and women of the past who have done great things for the Lord. They've allowed their tongue to be used for good, and we can as well. But we need to ask the Lord to help us guide our tongue. Look at Psalm chapter 119, starting in verse 133. Psalm 119, 133. We'll read just a few verses here. 119, 133 through 136. Psalm chapter 119, study that chapter. It's a wonderful chapter about the Word of God. Starting in verse 133, reading down through verse 136, the Bible says this, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." Jump up there to verse 131. "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." The psalmist here is asking the Lord to order his steps. And more than just what we would think of as of physically or what is the next step to take spiritually, but this has to do with his whole life. Lord, guide me in the way that you want me to go. If we ask the Lord to guide us in the way that he wants to go, understand that includes the things that he wants us to say. But we must ask him to do that. Many people will go through their life and they'll never ask the Lord to give them control over their tongue. They'll never ask the Lord to help them with that tongue that, of course, can bring great destruction. And they go through life just being defeated time after time after time. And they go through life just living a defeated life and thinking as though there's no way the Lord can help them with that. Church, it doesn't have to be that way. We all sin. We're all going to say things that we shouldn't say. We're going to say it in a way that we shouldn't say it. But it's then that we need to fall on our knees before God or bow our hearts before him and say, "Lord, I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say it that way. Lord, forgive me and help. Help me, Lord, as I go through life. Guide my steps. Guide my words. Give me control over this tongue." We need the Lord to guide us. We see here that our tongue is capable to do very great things for the Lord. But too often we use it to do some destructive things against God. The title of the message is, "What is our tongue capable of?" And the answer is this, it's capable of great blessings and great accomplishments if it's guided by God and His Word. Or it's capable of great heartache and destruction if it's guided by our heart, which the Bible says is deceitful and desperately wicked. Our tongue's only going to be used in one way or the other. How are we going to allow the Lord to work in our tongue? You know, the things that we allow to come out of our mouth are directly related to what we allow to enter our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we've got things spewing from our lips that we shouldn't have, maybe the Lord's trying to show you some things that we're allowing to enter our heart that we shouldn't allow there. Maybe we're watching some things on the TV or online that we shouldn't be watching. Maybe we're allowing some things to be said in our presence at the workplace and we're laughing along with the dirty jokes that are going on. And God forbid we as believers are taking the name of God in vain. Lord, help us. Church, we need God's help. We need Him to help us to tame this member that's inside of our mouth. We need to ask the Lord to guide the ship and to guide the horse. Amen. Our tongue is capable of great things and destructive things. If we allow the Lord to lead us, we can do great things for Him.